Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And today we're continuing the October theme of awesome science fiction fantasy movies. I think I changed that over. It doesn't really matter. They're fantasy movies and they're awesome, and majority of these are sci-fi movies, actually. Yeah, they're all science fiction movies. Actually, I guess the first one's not science fiction, technically. It doesn't matter. It has science fiction stuff in it because it's all fantasy stuff. Anywho, today we're talking about Fifth Element. So, for the people who don't know what Fifth Element is, the Fifth Element is a 1997 English language French science fiction movie directed and co-written by Luc Besson, which I will go over who co-wrote that with him in a second here. Actually, I'll go over that now because I'll go over the premise all at once when I tell you about the movie. So, as I said, co-written and directed by Luc Besson. Luc Besson co-wrote this with Robert Mark Kamen. They have worked on several things together. Just to name a few, you have... So, The Fifth Element, obviously I mentioned that. Why I brought it up. They co-wrote Kiss the Dragon, the Jet Li movie. They co-created and co-wrote the Transporter franchise, as well as the Taken franchise. And I think that's all of them. Ow. That they did together. Yeah. Yep. Luc Besson has done several things, so many things. Director-wise, he's most notably the director, of Fifth Element, would be one of his biggest ones. Leon the Professional, The Professional for folks who don't know what that is, with Natalie Portman and... skip on his name right now. Jean Reno? Where is it? Yeah, Jean Reno. He directed The Messenger, the story of Joan of Arc with Mila Jovovich in it as well. Jovovich. As well as most recently... most recently he did a movie called Anna, which is, from what I heard, not great. But to me, the next best thing, which is kind of like a pseudo kind of sequel in a way, like not a sequel, but like a also very similar to Fifth Element, which is Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets, which is fantastic and got shit on because it's hard sci-fi, like most things. But he directed that, wrote it, and produced it based on a French comic book of, many names, really, but that's one of them. Like I said, he did the Transporter movies, Taken... he did a movie, Lucy, which was terrible. Columbiana. He's done so many things. And some of them are just fucking terrible. But he's a very visual director. The thing about his sci-fi that I like the most, the two things, Fifth Element and, of course... Valerian in the Thousand Cities. In the City of a Thousand Planets. I'm so dumb. Anyways, Valerian in Fifth Element is the use of practical effects as well as really good visual effects, especially, the time frame, 1997 to 2017. So, there you go. So, you have So you have 20 years between the two movies. And other than the drastic improvement of special effects and visual effects, the movies are very, very similar in tone. Also, just in the look and the way they designed them. But both amazing movies. Anyways, so that's Luc Besson. He's done so many things. So Robert Mark came in, besides doing Fifth Element, the Taken series, and the Transporter series with Luke. He's also the co-writer and creator of The Karate Kid. He co-wrote the screenplay for Gladiator, Lethal Weapon 3, Under Siege, The Fugitive, A Walk in the Clouds. Let's see, what else? Kiss the Dragon, like I said, with Luke. Most recently, he's co-wrote Angel Has Fallen just this year. Well, not, he didn't write it this year, but it was released this year. So I mean, he's done a lot of things. I mean, he's the dude that basically created The Karate Kid, which is a semi-autobiographical story based on Kamen's life in 1964 when he was 17 and beaten up by a gang of bullies after 1964 New York's World Fair. He thus began to study martial arts in order to defend himself. Kamen was unhappy with his first teacher, who taught martial arts as a tool for violence and revenge. So he moved to study with, I'm not even going to try to say that name, under a teacher who did not speak English, but himself was a student of, again, not going to say that name. But anyways, so you learn karate. So it's an autobiographical, semi-autobiographical story based on his early life. So that's pretty cool. But anyway, so he created the Karate Kid franchise, which is, other than the, which he had nothing to do with the later one. I mean, he did. He storied by, because it was clearly, it was the story he wrote before. But he wrote the other ones and created the characters. But yeah, so, I mean, that's Robert Mark Kamen, or Robert Kamen, depending on how you see him, because certain things he's listed as Robert Kamen. But yeah, so the movie stars Bruce Willis as Corbin Dallas. You have, well, hold on, let me pull up the actual list here. So you have Bruce Willis as Corbin Dallas. You have Mila Jovovich as Lilo. I'm not even trying to pronounce that name because it's crazy, weird space French. You have Gary Oldman as Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg, who's the protagonist, I guess you could say. Or antagonist in this movie. Protagonist. Antagonist in this movie. He's a bad guy. You have Ian Holm, who plays Vito Cornelius, which I'll get into in a minute. You have Chris Tucker, who plays Ruby Rod. Hilarious double entendre. You have Luke Perry, who plays Billy Madison. You have Tommy Tiny Lister Jr. as President Lindbergh. Lee Evans as Fogg. Charlie Creed Miles as David. You have Tricky, I want to say he's French musician, who's amazing as a musician as well, who plays right arm. And you have a bunch of other people in there too. A lot of notable faces you've seen all over the place. Brian James, General Monroe, who is in a movie I actually talked about on this here podcast once before. In on the other podcast, I guess we talked about it as well. But anyways, he was in Tango and Cash, which I believe I talked about on this movie sometime last year, if I'm not mistaken. That could be wrong about that. He played Mr. Patterson, or no, I'm sorry. He played Raekwon in that one. But yeah, he's in that one. But your main ones are Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, Gary Oldman, and Ian Holm. So real quick, not that I need to fucking tell you who most of these people are. So Bruce Willis, obviously Die Hard fame, Moonlighting, my favorite Hudson Hawk. He was an uncredited cameo. That's weird. Four Rooms is a really good one. 12 Monkeys. The Jackal. Fantastic movie. Very underrated movie. Hostage. If you've ever seen Hostage, Hostage is a fantastic movie. He was in Sin City. TV wise, like I said, Moonlighting. Was his probably? I mean, obviously his biggest one. Biggest one. Three episodes of Friends. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. Anyways, so that's Bruce Willis. You know who Bruce Willis is. Next up, Mila Jovovich. Probably most famous for two things. One, Fifth Element, Dazed and Confused. I mentioned Messenger, but she's not famous for that. And, of course, the string of terrible adaptations of Resident Evil. The god-awful Ultraviolet. She's done a lot of really terrible movies. Joe and I went over this one time, not on recording, just one time we were talking, of how many really terrible movies she has done. And it's shocking how many of them are terrible. And we're talking about movies she starred in. Not that she had like a small part in or whatever, but there's very few really good movies. So yeah, it's Mila Jovovich. She was in the new Hellboy, which is a fucking nightmare of a movie. And she's going to be in, well, as of right now, she's going to be in, the adaptation of Monster Hunter. So, you know, that movie's gonna be fucking terrible too. Cause I believe, and I could be wrong, let me verify this as I'm clicking through stuff. I want to say Paul W.S. Anderson is the one, by the way, which is Mila Jovovich is married to Paul W.S. Anderson. He's the one that did the Resident Evil movies. He's also the one that did the terrible Three Musketeers movie. He's done a lot of really bad movies just in general. But I believe he's the one doing Monster Hunter. That's why she's in it. He's not a good person, by the way. If you want to see a list of movies that are terrible and someone who just keeps getting like a job somehow, go look up the IMDb of Paul W.S. Anderson. And you will be shocked that this dude keeps making fucking movies, because most of the shit he makes is fucking terrible. I'm looking at the list right now, and I see one good one, Event Horizon, which is a polarizing type movie. Mike would say Soldier, but that movie's fucking trash. Pompeii I never saw because it looked awful. I stopped watching the Resident Evil movies after 2. Death Race was not a good movie. Neither was its fucking shit ton of sequels that were made afterwards, but he only directed the first one, so it doesn't matter. Pandorum? What the fuck was Pandorum? I don't even know what the fuck this is. Dennis Quaid, Ben Foster? I didn't direct it, though. I don't know that movie. I don't know what that movie is. But he directed and wrote Alien vs. Predator, which we all know is a fucking terrible movie. But yeah, he's not good, and he keeps getting movies made, and I don't understand how. But anyways, I digress. Back to positive stuff. Mila Jovovich, this isn't positive. She hasn't made a bunch of great movies either. So, sorry, but that's the truth. You have Gary Oldman, who, I mean, amazing as a human being, I'm sure, but as an actor, one of the most stupendously gifted actors of our time, before my time, all that fun stuff. I mean, he's made a bunch of movies, some TV shows, not a whole lot, ones or twos of stuff. He was in video games. His movies, he's made so many good movies, it's ridiculous. So all the way back to tie it with Luc Besson, he was in Leon the Professional, or The Professional, as Norman Stansfield. Oddly enough, in that movie, I guess you could say he's the antagonist in that too, even though he's going against a hitman. I can list a ton of movies that he's been in. I'll just do a handful of the really good ones. So he played Sid Vicious in Sid and Nancy. He was in, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. He plays Rosencrantz. That's a great movie. State of Grace, JFK, Bram Stoker's Dracula. He played Count Dracula. True Romance, The Professional, Murder in the First, The Scarlet Letter, The Fifth Element, Air Force One. Lost in Space isn't a great movie, but he's really good in it. Actually, it's a fun movie, but it's not a great movie. The TV show is fantastic, and it's coming back later this year. So that's, I think it's next month, actually. So that's fantastic. Where I lost my place. Hannibal was not great, but he was good in it. Hannibal wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as good as, like, say, Silence of the Lambs. And that's not really anybody's fault, other than the fact that there's a lot to that movie that you need to do, and they didn't really do it. Obviously played Sirius Black in the Harry Potter movies. He was James Gordon in the Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises. He was in Book of Eli, which is fantastic. Lost my place again. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. He was good in Lawless. Lawless is actually a really good movie. He was really good in RoboCop, and RoboCop's actually a really good movie. It's just way different than what people want it to be. I never watched Criminal. I never watched Space Between Us. Hitman's Bodyguard. He's fantastic in that. Darkest Hour. He played Winston Churchill, which is crazy. I have not seen Hunter Killer. That's the submarine movie, right, with Gerard Butler. I've not seen that movie. I heard The Laundromat's really good. I haven't seen it at all. I think that's all I think I've seen of recent movies. Yeah, so, I mean, he's fantastic. Gary Oldman's so goddamn good. And he's in Call of Duty, the video game. That's nuts. He's Call of Duty World. He was in the first one. The first movie he was in was Call of Duty World at War. Then he reprised that same role in Black Ops and Black Ops 4, which is crazy to think about that he is in those movies or in those video games. And then, of course, he's in a video game called Star Citizen, in an expansion called Squadron 44. But it doesn't matter. So that's Gary Oldman. And then the last one, before I move on to the details of the movie, is Ian Holm. So Ian Holm, most people may not know the name, even though he's been in a ass ton of movies. Most notably, you'll know him as Bilbo Baggins from The Lord of the Rings, as well as older Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies. So you'll know those ones. He was a voice in Ratatouille, and he's done so many different things. The Day After Tomorrow, really fun movie. It was in From Hell, based on a really good graphic novel. An okay movie. The Fifth Element, that's why I'm talking about it. I mean, so many different movies he's been in. I mean, I scrolling so many movies. We started acting in 1968. So, I mean, it's been doing it a while. But he's a really good guy. I like that guy. Anyhow, so Fifth Element. So Fifth Element. Ouch. Sorry, I had an itch on my leg and I scratched it too hard. So Fifth Element is a lot of many things. It's a lot of Star Wars. It's a lot of Blade Runner. It's a lot of things. The premise of this movie is this. If I can sum it up really quickly without reading a whole description. This great evil, which comes about every 5,000 years and needs to be stopped by this ultimate weapon, is hunting down or killing life as it wants, but also trying to stop the Fifth Element, which is the weapon, from existing, because the only way it can exist if it's in its true form. And so it needs to basically find and destroy the parts so the Fifth Element can never be unlocked. So, spoilers ahead for anybody who hasn't seen this movie in the last 20 years. 22 years, technically, if we were only like split hairs, 2019. But anyways. So, the Fifth Element is four enchanted stones that represent the four classic elements, earth, fire, wind, and water. And then the Fifth Element is, it's a Fifth Element. It's supposed to be main or mystery until you get to the end. And then that is kind of the revelation of the story. And the Fifth Element is essentially, humanity or the I don't want to say the goodness of human beings, but basically the human spirit, essentially. And so the five elements are protected in an Egyptian temple that is basically guarded by this order of monks that are entrusted of it by this alien race who created it. But everyone knows they created it, so they have to hide it. Otherwise, it'll get taken down by the henchmen of the ultimate evil. So the movie starts off in 1914 at an ancient Egyptian temple, where the monk is trying to stop an archaeologist from discovering the five elements and the ultimate weapon, and before he gets a chance to stop them, the aliens show up. They collect the weapon, saying they can't trust human beings with it, so they're going to take it off. But when the ultimate evil appears every 5,000 years, when it appears next, they will the Fifth Element will show up and will save the galaxy and everything. So, jump to the year 2263, which, by the way, if you do the math, is not 5,000 years from 1914, basically 5,000 years before the year 2263 on Earth is when the last time it appeared, and it's about to appear again. You jump to, the great evil appears deep in space in a form of a giant ball of black fire. Earth spaceships are making a blockade with the president. He orders them to fire on it due to some of his war council saying, "Hey, we can take this thing out." They are completely wrong and just make it actually worse. So it starts to speed towards Earth. So the priest tells him that they need to allow a ship of this alien race who's currently in contact with Earth, trying to get into Earth's space, to deliver the weapon. So the ship is attacked. The weapon is destroyed, air quotes. The stones are collected. So the fifth element is defeated, or blown up with the ship when it crashes. The four other elemental stones are then collected and taken by this other alien race for the bad guy, which is the great evil, but really it's actually Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg, who's working on behalf of the great evil. So then we jump to only one survivor of the wreck, and it's a severed hand. It's a metal glove, the fifth element sarcophagus that from this. There's a metal glove with a hand in it that's found from the wreckage of the destroyed sarcophagus that held the fifth element. So it contains living cells. So scientists in New York and laboratory recreate it, which is creating Lilu, who's again name I'm not going to pronounce because it's crazy long and French. Mila Jovovich's character. She escapes. Well, not yet. So then we jump to over to our hero, Corbin Dallas, spelled K-O-R-B-E-N, D-A-L-L-A-S, Dallas, like Dallas. I always forget that. I was like, Corbin Dallas. No, it's Corbin Dallas, K-O-R-B-E-N. Good in French, so I'm guessing that's why. He's a taxi driver, a flying taxi cab. I don't know why you have to say that because I don't see any cars that are driving in this whole movie. But anyways, a flying taxi cab driver. He's got 2 points left on his record. And he needs to bring his car in for an overhaul. So he's doing his fares. And when Lilu escapes from the military base, she has no idea what's going on. Because last time she remembers, she was asleep in a sarcophagus, and then all of a sudden she's in a glass tube with doctors around her, taking pictures of her weird bandaged body. And so she escapes. She jumps, falls, whatever you want to call, crash lands in the backseat of Corbin's taxi cab, which then knocks 1 point off his license, and then he has to run from the cops because she is wanted by the cops, and he like sees her and he's like, oh my god, I can't believe you're like perfect. And then so he tries to evade the cops, getting some scuffle. He does escape from the cops but wrecks his cab at the same time. Then she tells him that she needs to go to Cornelius. He finds him, that is the priest, who is the in the order of the people of the faction supposed to protect the fifth element. Who the fifth element was supposed to be delivered to him, but that's the ship got destroyed and the sarcophagus got destroyed, and so, you know, he lost her. He also thought he lost the four elemental stones. So you go from there. Then they find out that the four elemental stones are being delivered by a secondary messenger. So the five elements were never together. The four elemental stones were one place. The sarcophagus with the fifth element was another place, and they're supposed to meet together, and then they can stop the ultimate evil the great evil from appearing or from destroying Earth as well as the rest of the living life everywhere else in the world, in the galaxy, in the universe, and all that fun stuff. So then you find out that Dallas Corbin was actually a former major in the Special Forces. He is then contacted to go undercover as himself on this cruise that's going to this crazy space hotel, and that's where the messenger is going to give the stones over to whoever it is that has the fifth element, the guardian of the fifth element, Cornelius, would be the person. And then they can combine the five elements to then create the ultimate weapon and destroy the great evil. So shit goes wrong. Zorg's the one trying to steal the stones for his master, which is the great evil. He then brings upon himself, because his henchmen keep failing, to go to the hotel and get the stones. So he never actually has a confrontation with Corbin Dallas. He barely has a confrontation with Lilu. Lilu has a badass fight scene during a crazy techno opera thing that happens. Corbin then finds out that the stones are with the messenger. Literally, they are inside of her. So she gets shot and killed. He has to then reach inside her, get the stones, gets them out with the help of his new sidekick, Ruby Rod, put by Chris Tucker. And the double entendre, that is Ruby Rod. He's a sexual figure, and he's a very sex forward person. And Ruby Rod would be the euphemism for the penis. Anyhow, I'm not going to explain why. They team up. Corbin's just murdering aliens left and right. Gets the stones. Has to go after Lilu. Finds her damn near half dead. They escape. They go to the temple on Earth before the obviously great evil is screaming towards them. They have very, very few, like an hour or something. They get there. They're trying to figure out the stones, and it's basically you have to feed the stones the element they are. So water for water, wind for air, earth for earth, and earth, fire, wind, water, earth, fire, and wind. You know, you get it. So they blow on one by accident and find out how they do it, and then they have to unleash the fifth element. They don't know how to do it because it hasn't been done in 5,000 years, so translation has been lost a little bit. And then Corbin finally breaks down and tells Lilu that he loves her, and that sets off the emotion because she becomes disenchanted with humans because of the violence and the lack of empathy that the humans have for each other and the indulgence they have and the bad state that society is in, which is telling of nowadays. And because she also has fallen in love with him, it activates the fifth element, stopping the great evil in its place, like 63 miles above the Earth before it hit and collapsed and destroyed Earth. And that's it. That's your movie. So basically the whole thing is ends up being a love story. Non-conventional love story, because technically she's not human. She's a humanoid, but she is made to be the perfect specimen. But apparently that's very hubris of us to think that the perfect specimen would be human enough to be a look like us, but also have all the bits and parts, because they fucking at the end of this movie. You don't see them fucking, but you know they're fucking, because they're in the tube again recovering when the president comes to meet them. There's a lot of humor in this movie. The reason I like this movie is it's just fun in general. The effects are fantastic, both the visual effects or digital visual effects as well as the real physical effects. They're just really, really fun. The soundtrack is phenomenal. All the acting, including Mila Jovovich, are so good. Bruce Willis is Corbin Dallas, is essentially every major role he's ever played, which is essentially John McClane, but just John McClane in space. So it's Die Hard in space. But it's fantastic. He's a badass in it. Just like he is in Die Hards, one man against the odds. There's a lot of suburfies. I can't talk at all today. There's a lot of humor and underlining stuff. There's a lot of dark humor. There's just a lot of wacky stuff that goes on. It's kind of like there's a lot of cartoony stuff that's just amazing in it. A lot of sci-fi elements in it. And it has all these small little things that add into it that make you think it's a broader story or from a broader story. It's like a source material, but it's really not. It's all from just the creative heads of basically of Luc Besson and Robert Mark Kamen. And it's, I don't know everything about it, but basically Besson envisioned the world of the fifth element when he was very young, and it took him several years to create it. And he even wrote like a story I can't remember. I was reading something about it. Like, it has to do with, like, Atlantis or some nonsense, and, like, the ultimate weapon is found in there, and that's why it was Lost City. I don't remember. I was reading this thing about it, but I couldn't remember all of it. But, anyways, so he had this whole idea going for a really long time. I can't remember what it was about. I don't remember. There's something about Atlantis. I don't remember. I can't remember where I found it. I should have brought it up before, but it doesn't matter. He made something about, he was doing something with Atlantis. I don't know if it was about the script or what, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. So he had this idea for a long, long time, like way before he had the chance to make it. But anyhow, so it's one of those movies where it just kind of feels like it has a lot more to it than what you see on the screen, because there's all these different alien races and the kind of like a back history of them. And like this big rich world of all these characters, and like Zorg is there, which is a major corporation run by Gary Oldman's character. I mean, just craziness goes on in it, but it's a fantastic movie. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I've been your host, Cody. We've been talking about The Fifth Element. Tune in next week when I continue the theme of October of awesome science fiction fantasy movies. With Oblivion, and I'll talk more about that next week. But as usual, when I wrap this thing up, I always say, let's be awesome.